Well, that's awesome singing right there, church. You can tell how the church is doing by its singing. You sound awesome this morning. Turn with me, make your way to Galatians chapter 5. And I want to share this morning a lesson that has been on my heart, just things I've been thinking about just in my relationship with God, where I've been at and the past couple months, and just realizing a lot of things. And, you know, as I celebrated my 15th spiritual birthday at the end of July right there, and you know, you start to realize a lot of things. It's, you know, God reveals things. And even going to, like, the Global Leadership Conference, and you know, you go there, you hear a lot of great lessons. Yeah. And, you know, it really makes you think about where you're at with God.
Yeah.
And I've been realizing a lot of things, and things that, you know, we can value things. We value a lot of things. There are things that are precious to us, right?
Yeah.
And there are things to us that matter most, right? It could be anything, relationships, possessions, whatever it might be. And, you know, when you think about it, if there was ever a fire, your house is on fire, think about the first things that you would grab. If you're a parent, you're grabbing those kids, right? If you're a single person, that'd be, could be your clothes, jewelry, could be your phone, right? If it was Tyler, definitely his J's, right? You know, whatever it might be. You know, it could be food. I don't know. You just like, whatever it might be. Whatever matters most. I've been thinking about it, just the things that I value. And I really had to ask myself, am I valuing the right things? And as I'm learning these things, I mean, like, maybe that's where you're at. And I believe God is revealing that. What do you value most? What matters most to you? And that's exactly what I want to talk about this morning. What matters most? For us, I believe it's two things. Number one, it's our relationship with God.
Amen.
And number two, it's the family of God.
Wow.
What it really boils down to is just love. And it talks about this right here. Paul is preaching to the Galatian church right here and really trying to get them to understand what matters most. What it's all about. What counts. I believe it's the message that we got to really wrap our hearts around this morning. Here, as he's getting into the chapter, I hear, basically he's been trying to deal with them. They, you know, they've been focused on, you know, holding to the law and circumcision and these things like that. And Paul's like, that's not what it's about anymore. Christ abolished that. This is what it's all about. In Galatians 5 and verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts, the only thing that matters is faith. Expressing itself through love. If that's the only thing that counts, faith, your faith, expressing itself through love, your faith in God, and what God has done should move you to love Him with everything you have and to love His people. That's what it really boils down to. I mean, the greatest commandment, Matthew 22, what? It was love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And let me tell you what, this world needs love right now more than ever. It needs us to value the right things. We can get so focused on the wrong things. And this morning, I want to really help us out and zone us in on where our priorities should be. Are you with me? As life goes on, it's pretty easy to get off track and forget about what matters most. Are you with me? We get our priorities all mixed up. Right here this morning, I want to help us focus in on what matters most. And the first thing I want to talk about this morning is our relationship with God. My first point is spending quality time with the Lord. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. As I've said, I've been figuring these things out. And God has been revealing these things to me. You know, even at 42 years old, you're still learning. It doesn't matter how old you are. There's always things to learn. Are you with me? So I hope you came to learn this morning and get in the Bible right here. And I pray that you are focused here on what God has to say to you this morning and what His message has to say to you. And in Luke 10 and verse 38, we find a moment right here in Jesus where Jesus has to teach somebody right here on what matters most. And in Luke 38, we find this. As Jesus and His disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered. You gotta love Jesus right there. Like, whoa, 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 calmate, tranquilo. Todo está bien. Todo está bien. The Lord answered. ¿Por qué? You are worried about and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. What a moment. I mean, here we find Jesus at the home of Mary and Martha, where Lazarus, their brother, right? A home that they were great friends. And where they're at, they're in Bethany. It's only a couple of miles outside of Jerusalem. And they're on their way back right there. And then Jesus decides to stop off with the disciples right there. And here they're having a great time. And of course, Jesus, I mean, he's probably having a great time, but just teaching and sharing things. And you have, I mean, what a guest to have in your house right there. Amen. Jesus, right? You think, oh, what celebrity you would want to hang out with and hang out in your home right there. I mean, some might be Bieber, Taylor Swift, I don't know, maybe the president. I have no idea, right? I mean, think about it. You know, we played this game when we were at the cabin, the Get to Know You game, right? And one of the things, we played this Jeopardy game, and it was awesome. It was very revealing of some random facts on some people. Some embarrassing moments. There was some juicy stuff that was shared. Right? Somebody was left on a bus. Just different things like that. So. Won't get into all that. But one of the things was like what celebrity would you want to like convert, you know, like that you can reach out to and study the Bible. And it was awesome just to see, like, some people said Eminem, you know, that would be awesome right there. Kobe Bryant and stuff, you know. But imagine having these people in your home and like, you want it to be awesome. Right? You want it to be great. I mean, if you had throwing a party, you want it to be great. You want people to be encouraged, right? And talk about being stressed out when you have people in your home when you're trying to plan an event. And so you kind of get a sense of what Mary's feeling right there, just frustrated, right? But there, or Martha, excuse me. But Mary is doing what is best, as Jesus says. Yeah. Just hanging out right by the Lord's feet. Wow. Yeah. Right? Taking every moment, probably. You know, the Lord was on a mission. And she's taking advantage of that relationship, right? And there she is, doing the best thing possible, listening to Jesus. Here we find two sisters, each made a different choice, and the other was commended for it. You know, this is a great moment, I believe, for us to teach us this morning on what matters most. And that is spending quality time with the Lord. That is what's always better. That's what Jesus said. Mary has chosen what is better, and it's not going to be taken from her. Let me tell you what, who wants to take it away? Satan.
Yes.
And allowing the distractions and all the preparations of life to be done wants you to get distracted on that, and so your time with God is taken away.
Right.
And for us, we've got to make the decision every day to choose what is better. Let me tell you, there's always going to be distractions. Those of us that have kids, amen, quickly become a distraction right there, right? Amen. They're cute little distractions, and you got to love them right there, right? There's many preparations that have got to be made. I mean, Jesse now just started kindergarten, like, holy cow. Right? Now we're definitely on a schedule. She's got to be at school at 8:30. We got to go pick her up at 2. Right? And you got to get going early in the morning, right? I was fired up. I mean, she's up early now. I mean, like, the first day of school, she was, like, up before me. She's, like, ready to go. She already had, like, I get up, like, there she is. She's got her backpack on, like, oh. Like, all right. Martha, distracted by all that she had to do right here. You see her heart. She's trying to serve the Lord. She wants to serve the Lord. She wants to help Jesus out. She wants to, you know, to prepare a great meal, right? So you see her heart right here, but yet she's distracted from being focused on Jesus. And what happens? She becomes crabby and irritable. Right? Lord, don't you care? Don't you care what's going on? All right, tell her to help me. You sense the frustration right there. And we can be like that as disciples. And you can tell when a disciple is not doing well with the Lord. There's some irritability there and some crabbiness. Right? Right? And you start like, right? And just like biting and devouring people. Right? What do you want? No, I gotta go do this. I gotta take care of this first. Like, my wife knows exactly when I have not had the best prayer or I have not prayed at all yet. Have you had a time with the Lord yet? No. Okay, shows. But if we don't watch out as disciples, we can be crabby and irritable in the church.
Yeah.
And when you're called to do something, you're asked to serve, when you're being pushed, let me tell you what, if you're not close to God, you're not going to like it, and you're going to come out crabby and irritable, just like Martha. Yeah. Mary chose what was better, and it wasn't going to be taken from her. And this is just a great example. She's just a great example of a disciple sitting at the Lord's feet, wanting to learn. She wanted to learn. She's like, I mean, imagine sitting there. You got Jesus in your house. I mean, just learning from the man. Like, man, what nugget do you have for me? I'm sure everything he was saying, like, man, I'm writing that down. Right? Just soaking everything up. And that's what a disciple is, a student, a learner, right? And that's our heart every day. We want to grow. We want to get better, right? We want to add to our faith, as the Bible says. We know we're not supposed to stay in the same spot. But we wonder why we don't change. We wonder, why does this Christian life? I heard it was supposed to be awesome. It was supposed to be joyful. What is this? It's a burden. And let me tell you why you feel that way. Because you missed the first thing. Spending time with God. Amen. We call it a quiet time, right? QT.
Yeah.
I put before you, it's quality time.
Yeah.
QT. Amen. Even more so what they say in the Hawaiian Islands, it's a power time.
Yeah.
It's what it is. I think this is a message, especially as this church is going into second anniversary. We have a lot of young Christians.
Yeah.
I want to see you faithful in this church a year from now.
Yeah.
2 years from now.
Yeah.
I want to bump into you if I'm in the ends of the earth. I want to come back at a conference. I want to see you 10 years from now. I want to see you 50. I want to see you in heaven.
Come on, bro.
That's my heart.
Yeah.
The only reason why I'm still here 15 years in is because I love God with everything I got. I make a conscience, even though times I don't want to.
Yeah.
I know I've got to go pray. I've got to dig in my Bible. Because without that, I will get distracted and Satan will take me out. And I don't want to see that for any of you. I want to go into heaven with joy. And I want to see all of you there with me. Are you with me? Mary chose what was better. Martha, like many of us, I know we can relate. And that's why the passage is here. Was worried and upset about many things.
Yeah.
Maybe that describes your week this week. Right? Just worried and upset about many things.
Yeah.
Like, right? Maybe you're worried right now in this lesson. I don't know. Right? But I hope by the end of it, you feel peace. Amen? Right? And you can walk up a little bit, you know, more floating in the air right there with God's Holy Spirit. Amen? But let me tell you what. There is nothing like worry and stress that can take you away from your relationship with God. Right, that can choke out your relationship with God. It can. You know, worry comes, the word comes from the old Anglo-Saxon word, Rygan. W-R-Y-G-A-N. Which means to strangle. Alright? Rygan is what happens. Alright, imagine this. A dog gets a shoe. Like a tennis shoe right there. Like a little basketball shoe, right? And it starts going after. You ever seen that where it's just like gnawing on an old shoe? Right? It's just going to town on it and just chewing it, right? And you try to go to take that shoe away from the dog right there, and it clutches it and it strangles it anymore. You're not getting that shoe out of there, right? It's totally got it in its jaw as you pull harder and harder. But that's exactly what worry does to our soul, right? It's like a dog that has its teeth embedded in your thoughts and emotions. And it's pulling at you chewing on you and trying to tear you apart. That's what it's like to live with anxiety and worry. That's what that's like. Doctors define that as it's a tension and distress experienced over anticipated loss, whether real or imagined, of some valued possession. And so that's how we feel. We think like, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my job. Oh my gosh, I'm going to lose these relationships. Oh my gosh, my marriage, what's going to happen? Oh my gosh, my kids. Oh my gosh, my finances, my car. Ah, school, I don't know, what's happening? You just choked up. Yes, all right. Come up. Right. That's what that looks like on the inside. I know I'm being a little funny, but that's what it's like. We've all felt that. We do feel it. It's in us. But we operate our hearts like it's a Ferrari, but really it's designed as a moped. We're trying to go.
That's...
Oh, we're meant to rely on God, who can get us through any situation. Worry can steal your sleep. It ties your stomach in knots. It dominates your thinking.
Yeah.
It casts a cloud of fear over everything in your life.
Yeah.
Dr. Charles Mayo, who founded the Mayo Clinic, says that worry affects the circulation, the heart, the glands, the entire central nervous system. So basically, worry, this is what it does. It will do to your body the very same thing if you put sand in the gas tank of your car. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6, two of you who are worrying can add a single hour to his life. Why? Because it takes away life.
Right.
Yeah.
That's good, Jacob.
We're designed to depend on a God who created the universe, the one that's making the eclipse tomorrow happening.
Right.
He can stop it if he wants to.
Right.
That there's no issue in your life that he can't handle.
Amen.
There's nothing. There's nothing that he can't do. It is just basically a faith issue.
Come on.
That you doubt, like somehow, like God is absent in your situation.
Oh, wow.
Like we're practical atheists all of a sudden. Like,
yeah.
There's no God. Why?
Oh.
My car got towed.
Oh.
There's no God. I got a parking ticket.
Oh.
There's no God. My kid's sick. Freaking out. There's no God. My husband doesn't love me. It's not going to work out. No God. Right? We can come in and sing the songs, hallelujah, right? And then you walk out and you get a bad news, like, whatever. Right? You ask yourself, and what's happening, again, it's in the Bible for a reason because we all deal with it, right? And what is happening in you, there is an alarm that's going off. There's an alarm that's going off. There's a fire. And that fire is anxiety. And what is happening is your sense of security is on fire. That's what's going on. Right? Your sense of security. Like you don't think you're going to be okay all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And so there's a big blazing, but the house is on fire. And so the alarm's going off.
Yeah.
And you ask yourself, well, Jacob, how do I battle this?
Yeah.
Well, the same way that Mary did. What does she do? She's right there at the Lord's feet, seeking God first.
Amen.
I picture her at total peace.
Yeah.
Just a big smile. It's awesome, Lord. That's so great. Let me write that down. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
Yep.
Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry or take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I love what David wrote in Psalm 27, verse 4. He's like, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek his temple. I mean, I love David. David's heart is like, man, all I want to do is I just want to seek God. I just want to dwell in the house of God. The same thing that Mary and Martha are doing. There's Mary. She's got God in the house. And she's like, man, this is where I want to be.
Yeah.
Wow. I just want to live right there.
Come on,
what an incredible heart.
Come on, bro.
And I love the Lord because even though Mary was freaking out, you see the Lord loved and cared for Martha. Mm-hmm. And He says, Martha, Martha. Whenever God says your name twice, it means, yes, Damone, you better listen.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But actually means He's got deep empathy for you. He sees what you're going through. Martha, Martha. Hey, hey, it's okay. And her heart was awesome. I mean, you see her, right? Yeah, Mary is getting commended, but her heart was awesome. She wanted to serve the Lord, right?
Yeah.
But it's the reality. She wasn't focused on the one thing. And in doing this, I think we can all agree, she did get a little out there.
Yeah.
Right? Tells the Lord, don't you care?
Yeah.
Hey, see what I'm doing? Don't you care? And that's what we can think about God sometimes. Like, don't you care anymore?
Right.
And somehow God, you think like He's unaware of your situation. Like He's off, right? Like, no, He sees.
Yeah.
He sees what's going on.
Yeah.
Or sometimes we get caught up like, nah, He can't handle this.
Yeah.
Or maybe He's unable to do this.
Yeah.
That's what we can think sometimes. Yet the Bible says in Jeremiah 32, verse 27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me?
Wow.
Is it?
Right.
No. He can handle anything. Amen.
Right.
Come on, bro.
Martha also responds. I mean, look what she starts to do. Hey, tell her to help me. Tell them Jesus what to do. Jesus, tell her to help me. Right? And that's where we can get to. We start getting choked down in our relationship. We start telling God what to do. God, can you handle us right now?
Yeah, you what?
Serious. You better reckon it. Whoa, hey. Alright. You gotta go read Job right there and hang out in the 40s, chapter 40s right there. See, like, brace yourself. Well, we can start to tell God what to do. We can start telling God, you know what? This is what I'm doing, God.
All
right? This is what I'm telling you. You know what I'm doing? I'm pulling my heart back. Because you made this too rough. All right? I can't lead right now. I got to take a step back. All right? It's too much. God, you know what? My life is a little chaotic right now, so I need to pull back. So, you know what? I'm not going to be as committed right now because I got to go take care of this. All right? Because you just made my life a little too challenging. So this is what I'm doing.
Whoa.
For right now. I gotta do this for me.
Okay.
Oh, start telling God what you're gonna do.
Yeah. Okay.
That is a scary place.
Yeah.
But you love the grace and the mercy of Jesus? Martha. Martha. He's upset and worried about many things. It's just only one thing. Come first. Mary is doing what you need to do. It's going to be alright. I love that. I love God. God disciplines us in His kindness.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I want. I've seen like what's kept me humble and just grateful. Like I don't deserve to be leading a church.
Yeah.
I don't deserve to have an incredible, beautiful wife, a wonderful daughter. I don't deserve to have you guys follow me. I don't deserve to be able to take a group of sold out disciples who want to love God to Tahoe, one of the beautiful places on the planet, and try to inspire them to do great things for God.
Yeah.
I don't deserve that.
Yeah.
That's the grace of God.
Yeah.
We've got to be encouraged by the grace of God.
Yeah.
And in His kindness and the way He tries to help us get back on track. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I know Mary was totally at peace sitting at the Lord's feet. And to sit at the Lord's feet implies a readiness to accept and obey what Jesus teaches. Some of us who are studying the Bible need to get this on strict.
Come on.
A readiness to accept what Jesus teaches.
Yeah. Come on, bro.
You're the student and Jesus is teaching you through His Word. That's how we are in discipleship. Are you with me?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. Like, we got to make sure when we're discipling people, the Bible is open. Because as soon as the Bible is open, right? Like, bro, sis, I want to help you out. Can I tell you something right here?
Yeah.
And as soon as you share that scripture, guess what that disciple immediately starts to remember? When they study the Bible, like, oh, yeah, I'm being taught right now.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I'm talking about? To me, they go into, all right, I mean, yeah, amen, yeah, thank you. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And sometimes we can get caught up into sharing our own opinion, our own thought, you know, and we don't get God's word out.
Yeah.
It's the thing that challenged them and changed them in the first place.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
To sit at the Lord's feet implies a submission to Jesus. Rebellion is done with. You're not telling God what to do anymore. Amen.
Yeah.
To sit at Jesus' feet implies a faith in who Jesus is and you totally trust Him.
Yeah.
To sit at Jesus' feet implies discipleship.
Right.
And simply last, but certainly not least, to sit at Jesus' feet implies love.
Yeah.
That you just love Him. And if we're going to serve God faithfully, if we're going to do His will, if we're going to win this world, it's going to have that same heart of just loving Him and valuing our time with Him above anything.
Amen.
Let me tell you what. That's where the revival begins. With God.
Yeah.
Right? And maybe that's where you are this morning. I don't know. The revival needs to start. That your heart needs to get stirred up. That something's got to change. Well, let me tell you what. You can spend time with God anytime you want.
Yeah.
Revival can happen anytime.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's no coincidence that this verse right here closes out. And the next thing that's taught right here in Luke chapter 11 is Jesus teaching His disciples how to pray.
Yeah.
Why? Because to be a disciple, to do it, it is fueled with a close relationship with God. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Right. It's no coincidence right there. And every day, we got to revive our spirits. Maybe some of us, that's where we're at this morning. Your priorities have been a little messed up.
Yeah.
Some of you are thinking of pulling back. Think it's not a big deal that, you know, you got to go to midweek. Not a big deal to be in Bible talk. Maybe campus devotional. Maybe not that big of a deal for you. Maybe being here this morning has in some ways become a burden. Just being committed. And I tell you why you feel that way. Because you're taking your eyes off of Jesus. That's why. You're taking off your eyes off the Lord. And there needs to be a revival. There needs to be that closeness, that intimacy with God. I loved it, you know, on the last night before we left. We sang a song. We got in the scriptures. And we just had a great time of just openness to clean the cup.
Yeah.
And you know what we did after that? Just like the Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other.
Yeah.
And what we wanted to do that night was just to start a revival. We wanted to get everything out.
Come on, bro.
So we could be close to our God.
Yeah.
And so we come back down the mountain and start a revival in Sac City, which desperately needs it. Are you with me? That's the heart and the spirit we've got to have. You know, closing out this point right here, where Mary is at, this is where we all need to be. And then we can go and work with Martha. There are three types of people that we see in this story right here, in this account. There are those like Mary, those who know how to serve and sit at Jesus' feet. And there are people like Martha, those who diligently and with the best intentions serve God, but without adding the one thing, a continued focus on Jesus, and sadly it results in great frustration. Then there are those people who don't do either. They're actually not even in the house with Jesus because they're too busy in their own pursuits. And I want to challenge us this morning to make a decision to do what is best. To spend great times with God. I want to challenge you this morning to make sure that in your time with God, you got something specific that you're reading.
Amen.
Grab a book. Ask somebody. Ask the person in your life, hey, what do you think I should study up? What should I read? You know, I challenge the leaders there to write an article within a month on one thing they're learning in their relationship with God. To tell them. Writing's powerful, but to push them to just think and share their relationship with God. See, that's what we share. When you share your faith, you know what you're sharing?
Yeah.
Your relationship with God.
Right.
Right? And people want to see that excitement. They want to see you fired up. Like, wow, hey, you got to come. Yeah. You come to my church. Come to Bible Talk. Why? Because that's awesome. Right. I want to share Jesus with you.
Yes.
I want to share with you how he's changed my life.
Yeah.
Right? And I just love just hearing Bianca. I remember when Bianca was baptized in July, amen, at our camping service. And I always love going up to Bianca, giving her hugs. She's so fired up, you know. Of course, because she just got her sins forgiven about a month ago, amen. But what impacted her, she was having a rough day. She had no idea. And here comes Claudia. As Claudia does with a smile on her face, right? And seeing the joy and the excitement on her face.
Yeah.
And Claudia's just fired up about God.
Yeah.
Right? And this sister has been through a lot.
Yeah.
And still fired up.
Yeah.
Because she loves God.
Yeah.
And we just love God. He's so close to him. We go after him every day. There's so much fruit that comes from it.
Right.
And it impacts people.
Amen.
It was no wonder. Like, Bianca had no idea. She would never have stopped. She's in the parking lot. But because this sister right here was so excited about God, it impacted her.
Yeah.
And now Bianca's your sister in the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
See, when you go after a revival in your spirit, it impacts and revives other people to rise from the dead. Amen.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to do all over Sacramento and the world. And so I challenge us to be like Mary, to always choose what is best and sit at the Lord's feet so we can win this city. Amen. And make it to heaven. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. You know, as I said, my little girl started kindergarten. You know, I was very proud of myself because I thought I was going to cry that day like crazy. But I didn't. But it was surreal that my little girl is growing up. And now she's going to school. She's learning. And, you know, we don't have her for part of the day. And it's crazy that that's happened. And, you know, my wife and I, we've been married 10 years. And it's been awesome. And I love her. She's put up with me. And she still loves me, despite my sin. And it's pretty incredible. Again, that's the grace of God. But as I've gone on, I really, as of late, this past year, and what I appreciate Jason Dimitri, who leads a sister church in San Francisco, has been trying to help me out, is making sure I value the right things. In this position, it can get easy to get caught up, and you want to grow the church, and you want to expand, and you want to take the world, and as I do, I want to do that. But you can get solely focused and just hone in on the growth and the numbers and the baptisms, and those things aren't happening, those results, and like, what's going on? You can be like Martha, just worried and upset and distracted by lots of things.
Right.
And that's not fun to be around a guy like that.
No.
Just ask Courtney. And I appreciate Jason, because he's just been helping, like, bro, you got to value the right things.
Yeah.
You got to love God. You got to love your family. You got to fight for your family. And that's what I want to talk about here in my second point.
Come on.
Fighting for the family.
Come on, bro.
See, the church is our family. And even more importantly, I got to fight for my family, my physical family right here. Because that is my main ministry. And I believe with all my heart, if my marriage is doing awesome, my family is doing awesome, guess what? It has an effect over the whole church.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual principle.
Yeah.
Check it out right here in Ephesians chapter 5.
Come on, bro.
Paul shares this right here. He's talking about the roles in a marriage, but he illustrates it with the church.
Yeah.
In verse 21, it says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to the husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by washing her with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. And he who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church."
Amen.
So we see the roles within a marriage. And Paul is illustrating taking care of the church and see how Jesus laid down his life for the church.
Yeah.
the church, His body. And in the same way, as me as the husband, I've got to lay down my life for Courtney.
Yeah.
I've got to make sure Courtney is radiant without staying wrinkle and blemish, and she looks awesome this morning. Amen. But that's what I got to do every day. That I'm up my, you know, when she said I do, and I said I asked her to be my wife, and that was awesome right there. And she said yes. Amen. Thank you, God. All right. I made a vow before the Lord I was going to take care of her. And God trusted that I would take care of His daughter and make sure that I give His daughter to heaven. And now we got a kid. Now I got to make sure and I got to fight that we raise Jesse up and instill in her. And I'm fired up for kids' kingdom. Amen. Right? Are you with me right there? Right? It's just instilling that we raise up our child in the way that they should go so they would never stray from it. And I got to lay down my life for that. In the same way, we got to lay down our life for the church. Maybe you're not married. Well, the church is the bride of Christ. And we're all together. And this is the family is what it's known as. Amen. And we got to lay down our life for the church. Why? Because we got to make sure that it's blameless. Without stain, wrinkle, or blemish. Because Jesus is coming back. He's coming back to get His bride. And we got to fight to take care of this family. And the same way the husband's got to fight to take care of his wife, the same way for us, we got to have the same spirit in fighting for this family. Are you with me?
Yeah.
We've got to take care of each other.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And we got to be in there. We got to speak the truth in love. We got to present our brother, our sister, radiant in Christ. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And if we see something, we can't just like, well, maybe somebody else will do that. No, my Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3, we got to see to it that nobody has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the Lord.
Yeah.
Nobody. See to it.
Yeah.
Remember when your mama said, see to it, you better take out the trash?
Yeah.
See to it, you better clean your room?
Yeah.
Was she joking or was she serious?
Yeah.
She was serious. You better see to it.
Right.
Did you see to it, Andre? Oh, you better come over here then. Get over my... This is an important point. This is family. What really this is at the end of the day, why Jesus laid down His life for the church, because He was the husband. He said, love your wives. It's love. That we just love the kingdom. And then we'll do anything for it. We can have the baptisms all day, every week, every day, every year that we want. And we want to get to these places, but let me tell you what, if we're not protecting and fighting this family and taking care of it, all of that means nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. We got enough faith that moves mountains, right? We can sing beautiful songs, but if we don't have love, it means nothing. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
Marquise just got baptized, and I want to keep that guy faithful for the rest of his life. Toya's getting baptized today.
Amen.
I want to keep her faithful and help her get to heaven.
Amen.
Let me tell you what.
Let's go.
You're all responsible. We're all responsible for each other.
Yeah.
And you ask, like, what? Bro, I didn't choose you. I know, and I didn't choose you.
Yeah.
But we're bonded by blood that is thicker through our veins, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now, Nehemiah understood this principle. When they were rebuilding the wall in Nehemiah 4 verse 14, what did he do? He posted by the walls. There was opposition. What did he do? He posted them by families. And he said this. He says, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And fight for your families, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. He responsibilized them. He made it personal. It's like, guys, fight for each other. This is what this is about. You know, in Genesis 3, turn with me there.
Come on, bro.
Come on, bro.
We got to have a heart to protect each other.
Yeah.
Because this is a fight. And Satan, let me tell you what, wants to take us out. And we will make it. If this church is solid, if it's a family fighting for each other, protecting each other, saying the truth in love. And right here is a moment where it's the fall of man, where the husband had one job to do, and that was protect his wife. He had one job, just protect the wife. Right? And here they are, they're in the Garden of Eden. A beautiful place. It's awesome. But there's one person that wasn't fired up about that and tried to take them out. And that was Satan. And in Genesis 3 and verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'Well, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you'll surely die.'" "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. And then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made the coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord." Like, you can actually do that. "God among the trees from the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?'" He knew where they were. "He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.' And he asked, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?'" See, he already knew the answer to that one. "The man said, 'The woman you put here with me, she gave me some of the fruit from the tree, and I ate it.'" Wow. This is such a scene. And here they are. They only had one command they had to obey. One. Don't eat from that tree. Right? That was one. I would love to go back to that day right there. Just do that and you'll be fine. Right? And here comes the serpent, so cunning. And who does he go after? The wife. Who is he going to go after? The church. And even more importantly than that, he's going to go after the marriages. There's one job. You know, it's crazy. You look at the world today, you see all the adultery and the unfaithfulness, you know, within the politicians. You know, the president can have affairs and things like that, right? And still hold his position and stuff like that. The businessmen, the celebrities, and like, all right. And people just forget about it. But there's one job you can't do that in. That's in God's kingdom. He'll try to attack the marriage. He'll try to attack the church anyway to try to get them to stray from God's word, to get kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And here he gets Eve to second guess herself. He gets Eve to twist the scriptures. God said, "Yes, you must not eat from the tree that is in the garden." But he didn't say you must not touch it. He never added that in there. Eve added that in there. And we got to fight to make sure that we don't add things to God's word, or even we allow Satan to try to add things to his word and drift off from the truth. Are you with me? Or even allow Satan to deceive us on what the Bible really says. Did God really say that? And we can be like that sometimes. Did God really say that? You ever study the Bible with people like, "I don't know if that scripture actually says that. I don't really need to do that right there." Right? That's Satan's job. Eve adds to it. And the whole time Adam is there, standing there, the guy that's supposed to be the knight in shining armor protecting his wife from the evil one. And what does he do? The hero that he's supposed to be? Who knows what he was doing? I mean, he might have been just like on his smartphone or something like that. Just playing Bejeweled or whatever. I don't know. Or Subway Surfer, if they still play that. Or maybe he's working on Snapchat. Or, you know, who knows what he's doing? You know, maybe he's caught up in Marco Polo or something. Like,
oh, right?
Just like wandering away. Like, oh, snap, I better take care of my wife. Oh, that looks good. Oops. Right? And then what does he do? Hey, this girl you put here, it's her fault. Right? They didn't want to take responsibility for where he's at. Right? And that's the whole thing. We've got to take responsibility for each other. It is on us. And I believe with all my heart, we get this down, we will change this city. When people come in here, what are they going to see? John 13, 34, and 35. All right, love each other. New command I give you. Love each other as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. It's by our love. As we go out and reach out and they come in and like, whoa, there's something different here. And you got to look around. There is something different here. Are you with me? Right? There's black, there's white, there's Asian, there's Latino. That's all races. But everybody just excited and fired up to worship God. That's the church of the Bible. The most segregated hour is right now. And how could you call that love? This world needs love. There's so much hate out there. And the answer, guess what it is? Discipleship.
Yes.
That will cure. That's going to cure the darkness that's out there that's covering this world. Are you with me? Where disciples know His word, know His love, and takes that to the ends of the earth.
Yeah.
And when people come in, they see that fierceness.
Come on, bro.
You know, I was fired up about Marquise's baptism on Wednesday.
Come on, Marquise.
Yeah. I'm so proud of him. You know, studying the Bible and seeing this young man just wrestle with the scriptures. Amen. No pun intended, as he is a wrestler. Amen. But he gave up a lot right there, and he wrestled with God. And one of the biggest things that he saw, once he saw that he wasn't a Christian, right? And one of the biggest things that he saw, that impacted the most was the love, was the family. It's like, man, number one, I didn't know that I needed to be part of a church, you know, and I needed to actually, you know, be part of the body of Christ. All right, John 13 right there just talks about loving each other. How can you love somebody or love the other disciples if you're a lone Christian?
Yeah.
Can't do that.
Right?
And what impacted him in sharing his baptism was the love. And that's what won him over.
Wow.
And that's awesome.
Yeah.
And now he's fired up sitting back there in the back row. Amen. I want to challenge this morning.
Come on, bro.
To lay down our life for the family of God. You know, we got an opportunity coming up in November, and I love that it's called the love offering.
Yeah.
To support our brothers and sisters who are fighting for their families and fighting for other families in other nations to help them. I appreciate Isaac just sharing the story of his time over there in Manila. I mean, that's true. Right? We've got it good, and it's our opportunity. I mean, God has loved this country a lot and has actually allowed this country to have the ability to be super generous. And we have that ability coming up on November 19th to really show our love and continue to fight this good fight to get everyone to heaven. Because that is what matters most. And this morning, really what I'm just talking about is the greatest commandment, as I said before, Matthew 22. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as itself. That's all we've got to do. Love is what matters most. And I want to challenge us this morning to live that out. Love is what drives out hate. Love is what's going to get us to heaven's gates. Love is the answer to cure that cancer called sin. Love is where we always need to begin. Love is what's going to get us to the end. Love is what matters most. Let's go after winning what matters most and win this world for Jesus. I love you very much.
Come on.